So
We'll just continue.
You can do it. It's all right.
Huh?
It always happens with me. I'm quite used to
You know,
this.
none of the thing. Okay, now my technical issue, it didn't record.
This has to be recorded.
This is recording right now. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Creators Podcast. Take on this podcast, and we today have Shri Priyatham, the caricature artist, on board. Gokul is right next to us. Mr. Gokul, aka the artistic businessman.
Hashtag Worstfellows.
I don't think, what was that? What did he say?
Worstfellows.
Worstfellows, yeah. We are the Worstfellows. We had a great conversation with Shri Priyatham and on how he started out with his art, how we both shared a similar, beginning with Cartoon Networks, Pokemon, Toonami.
Yes.
Oh boy, that was a good conversation. We had some good jokes in between, which we apparently missed. Anyways.
So yeah, man. Let's try to, you know, bring them in again, maybe, you know, randomly.
Okay. So you and me were talking about like how it all began. You wanna talk about that again, or you wanna go straight away to talking about how people? You gonna make a joke? No. How people were.
I think that's going to be too much of a cut. So I think maybe we'll take it from the beginning.
Yeah, sure.
Because it's never going to be the same.
Of course.
So, like I
said. So I was asking Shri Priyatham on how he started, like how it all began for him in terms of art and everything. Yeah. Oh yeah, go ahead, man.
So yeah, like I've shared with Keish. With you a while ago. So it began all with a guy, a classmate of mine, you know, when I was in second standard or first standard, I know that's the best I could remember. So, you know, he was drawing, his name was Anand, he's Anand.
Oh yeah, it still has Anand.
Yeah. We used to call him Ramachandran. I'm sure this guy would listen to this. He's still in touch.
Okay. You should send him this podcast.
Yeah. Because I never missed this particular part because it was very important, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where it all began.
So he was like your inspiration, at the beginning inspiration.
Yeah, he was drawing. He used to draw a lot.
Uh-huh. He doesn't draw anymore?
No, he doesn't draw anymore.
That's weird. Damn, that's good though.
Yeah, it's good. You know, he's literally twisted the plates.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, passively, I guess.
Right.
So, it just started, you know, with me, with his suggestion, why don't you draw?
Mm-hmm.
And I just started out drawing a piece from one of my favorite cartoons, Popeye Show.
Of course.
So
your first drawing.
Yeah, the first drawing. You know, it all began with Popeye. Because he was drawing the same, you know, he used to draw Popeye, you know, I just remember this a lot. He used to draw, you know, his hand used to, you know, so smooth, the lines were so smooth. He just remembers everything,
mm-hmm.
you know, he used to draw, you know, Popeye eating his spinach, you know, all his biceps, you know, rolling out, you know, rolling out ships and trunks and all,
he used to
do that a lot.
Uh-huh.
You know, especially Popeye used to have an anchor tattoo on his forearm.
Oh yeah.
Also a little boop on the elbow, like little thing.
How did I forget those things?
Yeah.
Why? Jeez.
So all these little cartoonistic things, you know, he used to deliver that on sketchbook so easily. So I was always surprised as a kid. So one fine day, he also said, "Why don't you start?" So I began with that. I began with the same sketch. I replicated his sketch.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I started off with my own style. After that, I also began sketching all these idols, religious idols, Ganesh, Shiva, Sai Baba on the calendars, because that was the best references we could get back then.
No internet, nothing at all.
Gods
were superheroes back then, superheroes,
literally. So we, you know, my dad used to click all the photographs, you know, we used to have these little old camera back then. So all from these Ganesh pandals and all. So I used to gather them. My mom used to give them to me, the reference images. She was my internet then. So, so she used to give me, she used to suggest whatever I should draw. I used to draw Krishna one day, I used to draw Shiva one day. I used to draw Jesus Christ one day. I was secular that way.
that's good. You had some diversity.
At least in anatomy. So I used to draw Baba one day. I used to draw Puttapati Sai Baba one day.
Everyone.
And after that, I graduated.
That way, you don't offend anybody.
I've graduated from there to, you know, drawing Powerpuff Girls. We used to get all the stickers on the notebooks.
I've never had stickers when I was a kid.
So we used to get all those Cartoon Network stickers and all. And of course, my memory used to work good in cartoons, bad in studies. So so I always used to, you know, start off with Powerpuff Girls, Popeye, Olive Oil, and Brutus, Wimpy,
Bravo.
Wimpy especially.
Wimpy,
the character in Popeye who eats a lot of hamburgers.
The big guy, the fat guy. Oh, his name is Wimpy. Never got his name. I whenever I see him, I get really hungry.
Yeah, he's so good, man. His character was so silent but very significant.
Right. Oh yeah, he never speaks, right?
He never speaks. He keeps eating hamburgers.
He's a hamburger guy.
He keeps rolling them out from his bag and from the cap and everything. This character goes like, he eats hamburger, and if someone is talking to him, and he rolls his hamburger in his hand and keeps it. So once he's done here listening to them, you know, he just removes the hamburger from the hat and he eats again. You know, he would remove hamburger from everywhere. So that's something, you know, which stuck in my mind literally. So and after that, SWAT cats, you know, SWAT guys.
Big time, right?
The SWAT Billy guys. So,
what's that?
You know, the Cartoon Network was in Hindi back in Hyderabad.
That's the name? Billy guys.
Billy, it was the cats, right? Hence Billy. Hindi.
Right.
And I forgot the exact title. I remember it as SWAT cats.
I
go with it. We never watched, you know, that kind of that amount of Hollywood movies back then. I never understood the significance of English cartoons, because right when I was a child, we started off with Hindi cartoons, on Cartoon Network.
It was all Hindi cartoons.
It was all Hindi. It was only English. In the very beginning stages, when I was in third standard, second standard. After that, it changed to Hindi. Once in a while, they used to automatically switch to English, but they used to switch it back to Hindi again. The reception was very well. Especially back in those days. Today's kids can understand, you know, they are way leagues ahead of us. You compare
English,
our kid versions.
Of course. Totally.
So back then, I don't know if we were even dumb or not, because I didn't even hear the English versions properly. So I cannot speak.
I couldn't understand the references, the puns, the jokes.
It's not even like I never understood, because I never heard it in that way. It was in Hindi all along. So I didn't even know how English feels like in Cartoon Network.
It was only
after my 9th or 10th class that English started again. And by the time the good old cartoons are
stopped.
Completely.
Now you have Ogie and the Cockroaches.
I still feel, you know, very bad. I still feel pity for our, you know, the new generation kids.
I used to do that.
No offense, but I hate Chota Bhim.
I would go with you on that trend, because, you know, like, not just like the quality of storytelling has gone so down, the quality of artwork has gone even worse. Have you seen the new Powerpuff Girls?
Oh, is there a new Powerpuff Girls?
There's a new Powerpuff Girl reboot.
Thank God I never got to know about that.
Thank goodness, you don't have to. It's worse. It's the quality of art. I'm not sure about storytelling. The storytelling is too pandering, you know.
Well, it's not a live action movie. So in that case, you know, you also... the animation means a significant part in equal, which goes equal with storytelling. Especially when it's an animated feature film or an episode based cartoon or something. You know, you need to have the anime. You also need to have the animation right.
Right.
There's a reason why Tom and Jerry is always involved. A classic. It was a classic. It will be a classic, and it is a classic. Not the new Tom and Jerry, the old ones, the Hanna-Barbera's
versions.
The original classical versions.
Flintstones,
man. You know, Dexter's Laboratory, Flintstones, Tom and Jerry. Tom and Jerry was the number one, you know.
For you?
It was. Nothing can come close to that, you know, fluidity in the animation, in Tom and Jerry, you know, the stretch and squash structures and animation, you know, the cell animation they've done, you know.
Yeah.
They're all principle based, you know, all the animation. Later on, when I developed my senses, when I grew up, when I was around 14, 15, 16 years old, I began to understand the effort it takes. I couldn't believe myself that they used to draw each and every frame manually. They inked it, they keyframed it, they in-betweened it, and they painted it on the back of the cells, and they scanned it, they shot it, they arranged on the cardboards, and they shot it again, placing one frame after the other. Everything was manual, man. You know, can you believe it? Can you believe the amounts of tons of patience. There is a reason why there were hundreds and thousands of employees in Disney, and also MGM, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer.
So
the amount of effort it took, it is, you know. Of course, I understand that even today
it's still that today, but the problem.
There are lots of computers involved now. I still believe that, you know, the hard work is always the same. Because, you know, these things, especially...
it was harder back then.
The classical 2D animation always took lots of time because every step was manual. But now, especially with the big-ass studios participating in the 3D revolution,
right.
And Disney's and Pixar's and DreamWorks and Warner Brothers and all, they're all into the 3D. And it still takes the equal time, not more than what they used to take for classical animation. But still, even Kung Fu Panda Part 1 and Part 2 took around 7 to 8 years to produce, especially the post-production phase. Because, you know, you need to study the animals, you need to design the characters. You know, it always begins on the paper, man. You know, it's always a pencil on paper first. Only after that phase you get on computers. You know, you should never forget the basics. That's very important. You know, basic principles. You know, which, you know, what this generation's kids are really ignoring. That's the reason why there is a drop in quality. I would always stick to that point, because, you know, if you forget the basics, it doesn't mean anything anymore. Because, you know, even when you take one of my most favorite 3D movies, I'm not that fan of 3D, honestly. It's not like I don't like it. I love them, but, you know, it won't surprise me because I'm not into 3D. I've never been a fan of 3D softwares or anything.
Okay, I get it.
I'm a fan of all those movies, especially Tangled from Disney. I just love Tangled because...
That was a beautiful experience. You watched it in 3D?
Yeah, I watched it in 3D.
Right. It was amazing, right?
Yeah, it was amazing. And also, you know, taking the fact that, you know, the level of effort they've taken, you know, to animate the Rapunzel's hair. I heard that they've literally constructed whole different series of computers to render Rapunzel's hair.
Yeah, yeah. I think Glenn Keane was
Glenn Keane, you know,
he was responsible for that. I assume. That's what I read about.
So after Tangled, I think he has left Disney. He has resigned.
Yeah.
That was when the quality dropped. Of course, at least I feel that the quality has dropped a bit. Because of course there is a reason why he's called Glenn Keane, because he's Glenn Keane, the one and only. So yes, after that there was lots of movies, Zootopia and Up, and so many movies from DreamWorks and Pixar, and they were really, really marvelous and fabulous movies. But still, I would stick to the good old Dumbo, Mulan. Lion King.
Right. And the classic 2Ds. Right.
That's because it had the fluidity, because we had those movies were animated by the pillars of Disney, the nine pillars of Disney.
So
just like they say, after the nine pillars, there were a few other artists who took the legacy forward of Disney, who were like Aaron Blaze and David Bodru, and there are so many artists, 2D artists, who graduated their skill sets from 2D to 3D, but never forgot 2D.
They were always stuck to 2D,
the principles.
Right.
Later on, after 2004s and 5s, the 3D revolution has begun.
Right now, you barely see any 2D movies.
And that's the reason why I heard that there were a few artists in Disney and Pixar who came out and who started working for 2D animation.
I think 2D animation is only thriving in TV right now, right? Yeah.
Not even in 3D, man. They're still using flat animation. Even TV, yeah. TV is what I'm saying.
What they're doing is they're building these puppets which are like they're not hand drawn.
Yeah, that's the reason. Yeah.
And
so I'm okay with digitizing hand drawn animation. That's always good. It's okay.
You like hand drawn more than.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're just drawing on a digital canvas. Mm-hmm. That's totally all right, as long as you don't literally manipulate the movements. So just like that. There are lots of other artists who are still doing, there is this particular hashtag, save classical animation, save 2D animation, save
really?
Hand, yeah. So
this is going on right now?
Yeah, no, not right now. It's been going on since a while.
Okay.
Yeah, each
okay.
and every artist who's into animation or who's very keen towards animation, 2D animation, they would know about it.
Right.
Save 2D animation, because it is almost extinct. Right. At a certain point around 2012 or 13, it was non-existent. It again started slowly. They're developing again. And that was the same reason why Glenn Keane removed himself out of Disney.
Yeah,
he could not see any future for himself. Can you believe that Glenn Keane, who's around 67 or 60, 64 or something, when he retired from Disney, resigned from Disney.
Right.
And he started off on his own as a freelancer 2D animator because he wanted to save the classical animation.
Now he's
making his own independent animation movies. Did you see? Of course, he made
one with the Kobe Bryant.
Kobe Bryant, the basketball. Before that, the ballet.
I've seen that.
All these short movies, short classical animated movies are from the same problem. He's struggling. He's fighting for 2D animation.
Okay.
there are some great colleges in the US and Canada. Like the Ringling College, Ringling Academy for Animation and all, who are still stuck to the basics.
Right.
So it's always good. Even San Francisco School of Art, Los Angeles, LAFA.
Oh, I've never heard
Yeah, it's a School of Fine Art. They also teach animation.
They are
into illustration on a mainstream level. They also teach animation, hand-drawn animation illustrations. So.
Right.
But for me, art always begins on paper. It's always with pencil first. And it's computer later on. Computer, I would say, it enhances your skill set. It's not that it is not a magic wand. That's what the kids of the new generation miss a lot. And
don't believe in the simplicity of a paper.
That's because the quality of patience and attention has dropped drastically.
Tell me about it.
Seriously. So they just can't believe whenever they see an artwork. Where an artist spent around hours together, days together on one single piece. you know, even for even a quick sketch should look like a finished sketch for them.
Of course, of course. You see these sketchbook tours on YouTube, they're all like completely finished.
Exactly, completely finished piece, and they say it's a quick sketch. You know, it's just like a definition of success. It depends, you know, it depends on...
They mask the process, probably.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's not even like that, you know. Oh, for Glenn Keane, a quick sketch would look like a great masterpiece for us.
Mm-hmm.
It's always the level of degree which matters a lot.
Of course. That's another...
For me, a quick sketch spans around 1 hour.
Mm-hmm.
For another artist, a quick sketch... For those who work in oils
mm-hmm.
and hyper-detailed pieces,
mm-hmm.
which takes around 4 days or 5 days per piece...
Mm-hmm.
For them, 1 day is a quick sketch.
Right.
You know, it differs. It differs from one artist to another.
Right.
You know, one thing they miss is, you know, a quick sketch is usually, you know, it usually spans around like 30 minutes or 40 minutes. No, it doesn't have to. That's a point.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in the process of ideation, if you want to scribble something, it could mean 10 minutes or 30 minutes or 40 minutes, 1 hour. It doesn't matter at all.
Right.
As long as you're comfortable.
Right. You know what? Let's get back to what you were talking about.
Yeah.
Right?
So how I've started out. Yeah. So, well, it all started with, like I told you, like it all started with cartoons
mm-hmm.
From this guy. And yes, I took it forward, and then came Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. No, I get that. The thing I wanted to ask you is, You do say that like kids, or I want to say kids these days, that makes us too old. We're technically kids.
Yeah.
But you know, like people do miss basics a lot. At least the artists who I see on Instagram, like I get messages like, how do I improve my art? And I go into their profile, they haven't gotten their fundamentals right. They haven't gotten their basic foundations right. So what do you think as for you? Like, I've also realized that, you know, like as time went on, like everybody has their own set of basics, but there's a broad set of basics that applies to everyone. So what are your basics of drawing? Like if you go into it a bit more technical, like what would be your basics?
So, So whatever you've just told makes a lot of sense, because even I keep experiencing them on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
Lots and lots of people keep messaging me about
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
how to be a professional.
That's an answer.
So, yeah. So to be a professional, you know, I don't even consider myself a professional anymore at all, because it's
mm-hmm.
always a learning phase for you.
Right.
You know, you keep learning, you know, day by the day.
Mm-hmm.
So the basic things, you know, which people usually forget is, first things first, practice.
Mm-hmm.
And the fundamentals always begin from a basic circle.
Okay.
So the thing is, they just start off with, what do you call it? They just start off with aiming for a proper sketch,
mm.
aiming for a finalized sketch in one line.
Mm.
So which is not good, you know. Well, even for me, even I was misguided. Of course, every artist was misguided at a certain point of life.
Right.
Where you know. And you know, till they are guided with proper technical details
uh-huh.
and how to start off with the basics. So even I was introduced. I was, you know, I was introduced with these technical details, like, you know, start off with circles, scribble a lot of circles, and of different sizes, the same circles, and kind of straight lines, on a newspaper
mm-hmm.
or something, you know, just get your basics right, like ovals and circles and
mm-hmm.
Reverse
mm-hmm.
anti-clockwise and clockwise circles,
okay.
just like animators do,
okay.
and you know, practice lots of gesture drawings,
right.
human anatomy,
right.
you know, don't literally begin with life model poses, but begin with a wooden mannequin,
right.
stationary
right.
poses. Arrange the mannequin in your own desired position and start sketching the mannequin first.
Mm-hmm.
Once you're done with it, get on with live models.
Mm-hmm.
Since considering this country, we don't have
that much
resources for live drawing.
Mm-hmm.
Bangalore is inching towards that these days.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They are managing a lot of things these days.
Right.
So, So they've started their sketch sketch tours and sketch parties and all.
Okay.
So in that way, you just have to gather some good references on Pinterest or Google or some other artist sites where you can find good model references for your gesture drawing or anatomy practices. And one of the most basic things, you know, which no one sees properly is, don't be misguided or mislead yourself with details. You know, when you're starting with anatomy, just go with sticks first, stick figures first.
Okay.
And after that, go with basic, very quick details about where the limbs and where the limbs and torso is aimed at.
Right.
At which direction.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, only after that, after 15 or 30 seconds of finalizing a gesture, get on to the proper contours of the body.
Okay.
Like the hip and the torso and the limbs and the bicep. Neck or shoulders or something like that. So it's only after that, and for that, all these phases, especially from gesture drawing, from 5 seconds to 10 seconds to 15 seconds to 1 minute good live sketches,
right,
you know, would take around months together. The only thing you need to practice is how to maintain your patience consistently.
Just
don't be
yeah.
eager about your result.
Of course.
Just don't be eager to start out professionally. Professional, you know, there is a reason why they call it professional, because professional things have some quality. And for quality, you need to wait.
Right.
For some quality, you know, you just can't expect.
Need to put in a lot
yeah,
of work.
You just can't expect, a chef to, you know, cook biryani in 10 minutes or 15 minutes. You know, it makes sense. It makes some sense, right?
Right.
So,
right.
You know, you just have to marinate the meat, and you just have to soak the rice, and you just have to add the spices. You need to make, you know, cook it for a while, at least for 45 to 1 hour plus. You know, it. You just have to add the spices and all. You know, there it takes some time to, you know,
for it to simmer. You need learn.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it takes some time to, you know, have your proper food on your plate and, you know, to gulp it down.
Yeah.
You know, it takes some time. Be patient. Be consistent. I keep repeating this because I believe that students or youngsters, not that we are old. But I'm talking about the millennials or the later 90s.
Early 2000s.
Early 2000s and the later 90s, because even not all the 90s are great. Early 90s were great, honestly.
We were picked out chosen ones.
Yeah, we were the last ones, I believe, who faced...
how old are you? I've never asked.
I'm 26 now.
26?
I'm yet to be 27 in a month.
Oh, 90...
Late 80s are also great.
till 90s. Till 90s, everything was great. Because, so it's 92 in January.
92?
January 1st, So, yes.
Your intern is bad.
What?
Your intern is bad then.
Why? I didn't get it. What?
He said about... Late
90s
is not good
enough. Okay. No special.
Oh, God.
This particular
why it took so long for me to understand the joke? My intern can be an exception. I don't know. I'm going to stand up for this dude. Okay.
And when are you born?
Yeah. 94. I'm 24. Or 24.
Dude, you're younger than me, man.
Yeah, I'm younger than you.
Nice. So you're 25 now.
25. Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm 25. I'm getting older. Apparently, age.
Then what should Google say?
Google's on another level. He's old.
I know. Yeah. Mature.
He's mature. Okay. Now he's playing the mature card right now. Cool.
I like to be an amateur all the time.
What were we saying?
So yeah. We were talking about age.
Yeah. I mean, of course, you're talking about millennials, that's one.
Yeah.
And
so yeah, that's one thing, you know, which if you ask me honestly, I've observed a lot that today's generation, like post 2000s or post 99 or post 98, you know, they have lots of ADHD, you know, lots of attention deficit disorders. You know, you can't pay attention, you know, you're gonna get
some flack for that, trust me. I'm sorry. You're gonna get some flack for that.
Yeah, I'm sure I would get, but you know, I would not say this. If the generation was not expecting results. The problem is they're expecting results.
Right. Too much.
Too much.
Way too much. Yeah.
You know, if not everyone, of course, there's no point in generalizing all this
of
stuff.
Of course, I get it.
There are prodigies, you know, right now, and also there are shitloads of good 16s and 17s who are way leagues ahead of us.
Oh, yes.
You know, especially
in
the technical fields and also on the creative sides and photography, mainly filmmaking. And all.
Yeah, I get you.
That's the thing.
You know.
It's always the ratio which matters. How good and how bad. It's all the yin and yang. So,
no, I said you're going to get a flack for that because like people are easily offended these
days. That's the reason
why
I'm clarifying.
They're a bunch of snowflakes.
But well, you can...
I'm a snowflake sometimes.
Well, you cannot avoid the fact.
Right.
No matter if you try to bash someone or something like that, but still, that's the fact. You know, lots of people are trying to be proactive without putting in the proper effort.
They just focus on the face value of productivity.
Exactly.
They just want to look like working.
Exactly.
They don't want to work.
See, when you care lots, when you are looking too much on the epidermis level, that's where the problem begins. You also need to, you know, check the under part of it beneath the epidermis. You know, you just need to know the proper construction, you know, the basic foundation, which takes you through that epidermis level,
right?
So that you can understand the process and the value of it,
right?
You know, it's not always the commercial things which matter a lot. There is also the artsy thing. You need to concentrate on the basics first. Once you lay your foundation, I'm sure the entire construction will be perfect.
Okay.
That's how it always works. Without your skeleton,
it's true.
Without the skeleton, your body is nothing.
Yeah.
It stands on bone. It's just that, you know. You just can't literally expect magic out of in maybe overnight or something. That's the problem. I've observed that a lot.
The impatience is
the
playing
impatience,
a big role.
Yeah.
And that also probably that stems... I usually don't complain it on other people. I hate complaining, first of all. And two, I wouldn't complain the society because, you know, it's up to us on how we respond to the society. But also the problem is, like, people who want to get into the creative fields, right? They want to choose that field. They want to get into that field, especially in our country, in India, in South India, North India, and everything. They want to get into it. But the problem with their families and parents and what they are... Okay, give me results. Yeah, give me results at the very beginning.
Exactly.
And apparently with art, for some reason, it's not possible. Like, not just with art. Like anything that you're starting out, right? Getting results at the very beginning is very hard.
That's very true because... You know, the thing, the problem, the source for that is something like, you know, once you're done with your BTech or BCom, or any other graduation.
We talk about this,
yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So, doesn't matter what your discipline is, doesn't matter what branch are you from. So, you can get a job, you can avail a job by an MNC. Doesn't matter, if you're a mechanical or if you're into EC or, you know, I don't know much about this stuff, you know, if you're into the commerce field or something. Yeah. So they just get landed into some or the other software company. You know, I have so many friends like this. I have so many, like, bunch of friends who did their mechanicals and landed up in banks, who did their computers.
I know.
It's just that, you know, the thing is, you know, once you're done with your degree, it doesn't matter which discipline are you from, you know, you get a job. And you go tell it to your parents. And the problem is not with that parent. The problem is with a parent, you know, and neighbors to that parent who has a kid, you know, inclined towards art field.
they want to boast it off.
Yeah, they want to boast it off and they get influenced by that. So they expect that. So what would be the equivalent question to his son or daughter who are inclined towards the creative field? Mm. Would you get a job like this after your fine art degree or your design diploma? Would you get a job like this, like the other guy? They end up, these parents, uh-huh. who have kids like us, uh-huh. They would end up asking their kids, so can you get a job like this right after your graduation?
Okay. They probably won't
because this field doesn't work like that.
Exactly.
It all comes with passion, and if you need a job like that, either you have to be extremely good at your skills right from your college.
That is very true.
And especially sketching and stuff, mm-hmm. Or you have to be very good, and so that you'll be landed up in a good production company like an animation production or like DreamWorks or Disney or somewhere, mm-hmm. right after your graduation or masters.
Mm-hmm.
It's only, or you have to be insanely good at networking and a good freelancer.
Yes.
So if not for that, you cannot guarantee yourself a job if you are into this field.
That is right.
Yeah, it's not like it's not like going to a call center and attending customer calls and something like that. So that's where the problem is arising. You know, if you are into BTEC, there are shitloads of opportunities out there. You know, there are cards laid out. You know, pick a job, no matter if it offers you 15,000 per month or 20,000 per month, you just pick it out.
Yeah.
Go to a call center or a service center, just go attend the calls.
Mm-hmm.
Except that the tax would be Amazon or Google. That's it.
Right.
Just because Google has an headquarters in California or somewhere in US,
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean that your son, who works for Google's call customer service, is leading the company.
Yes.
They're just boasting about the name tags over here.
Of course.
Designations or the significance of the job.
They don't care about what they're doing. Care about
Ironically, on other sides, all these technical kids, all these kids who ended up in software jobs, are always envious of these artistic offsprings who are into art and creative fields.
I can relate to that.
They just close the loop.
Mm-hmm. Let's get down to the practical, the nitty gritty. The problem is that people in India, people in right over here, the parents are there's a good majority. I wouldn't classify, again, generalize every parent into this category, but there's a good majority that really wants to push their kids into the safer, what do you say, STEM fields? The science, the engineering, the medicine, into those fields. And they don't want them to pursue arts, or they don't want them to pursue their creative fields or whatever that doesn't, fit into this study category.
Yeah.
So what would be your solution? Okay, you have this 18-year-old kid or 19-year-old kid. He's probably coming to you and asking you, I want to do this, but my parents are not allowing me to do this.
The three idiots situation.
What is that?
The three idiots situation.
The movie. Oh, the movie. Okay. Right. Yeah. Of course. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So what would you say to that person? Because, I'm sure a lot of people who are listening to this are from that perspective.
So there are lots and lots of people who are already into that situation,
mm-hmm.
and who are coming from that sort of background where their parents are very, very much opposed to this particular fields, creative disciplines.
They are opposed. Oh boy.
Lots and lots of them. Because I hardly see them anymore.
Right.
Because I think it should start from the system itself. Because the thing is, if there is a student or if there is an individual who's around 17 or 18 and who just rediscovered himself,
mm.
and is looking forward for a career in photography or filmmaking or performing art or dance or Kuchipudi or anything, it could be anything, which doesn't have to do with the technical fields.
Right.
If he has that real passion, he has to convince his or her parents.
To communicate it.
Yeah, communicate a lot. Mm-hmm. Let them know the value of it.
Okay.
You know, give them some good examples. Mm-hmm. You know, give them some good practical evidences.
Right.
That they can land up in a good way after this particular course.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they choose this particular field as their career.
Mm-hmm.
Or they have to run away from their homes, which is not a good solution, I'm sure, because even under parents' support, artists struggle.
Right.
So I can't even imagine if they don't have the support. So, well, that's subjective anyway.
Yeah, it depends on the situation.
Of course.
But these are the options. Like, one,
or if you have too much of financial constraints and all, you know, you can begin just like many of my acquaintances did. Like, you just begin with a basic job from a software field. You just try to gather all the money and start supporting things. Start supporting your moral system and also your parents on all the financial systems,
right?
Financially and also physically, and gather some good money. Leave
right.
that part and slowly, make a good transition from your, money feeding things into your soul feeding things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or else, well, you just have to compromise yourself. It all depends on how committed you are to your.
You're trading off happiness.
Yeah. How happy are you with your field? Are you okay with letting that particular passion go?
Okay.
If you're fine with it, then I'm sure you'll be able to sustain with your mainstream job, which you don't have proper love towards for.
And also, like, here's an alternative thing that I was very against it before, but right now I've been considering it. Maybe not everyone needs to go into the professional side. Like, maybe your art needs to stay as an hobby.
Well, just like I said, if you are so afraid about making your art as a profession, well, then I'm sure you must have figured out the other ways for making some good money for your personal side.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not just saying it from the perspective of you're not good. I mean, that's one. I mean, some people aren't made or aren't cut out to be freelancing people, or not just freelance, they aren't cut out to make a living out of art. Their strength doesn't lie there. They're not aware of it as well.
Yeah, exactly. See, I've known lots and lots of artists like that.
Right.
You know, who draw more than like a professional, who draw very well, but they're not into the profession. You know, they don't do it for a living.
This sounds very discouraging, but I'm just trying to talk reality here.
That's true, because I happen to ask these questions to those artists, you know, whom I've seen, you know, who were drawing so well that they could literally turn the table and they can literally earn a lot. But they say that their strength won't lie there, and it's not that real of a passion. For a little example, I'll lay a simple example over here that I'm a big movie buff.
Okay.
So I love filmmaking. It's not.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Filmmaking as in not the technical filmmaking.
Oh right.
The process which involves that. You know, and especially I love screenwriting a lot. Love screenplays.
Right.
And I have real passion towards it.
Oh, right?
Not too much at all. You know, back then I used to start out a script or screenplay, but I just left it because there is this mainstream profession.
Okay.
You know, which keeps me, you know, and of course passion again.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I'm not feeling bad that I left that particular screenplay or screenwriting because. My mainstream passion is art.
Right.
You know, I didn't feel bad, but I still feel that, okay, I can do, but I have no confidence that, you know, I can make a living out of it no matter how good I am, because I have a mainstream thing which I'm very much confident about. So, I watch a lot of movies on a daily basis when I'm working. I watch lots of TV shows. I know, I break down characters, you know, I just try to analyze. You know, I try to dissect all the stories and scripts and everything. But then I wouldn't dare to convert that into my,
your main thing.
Mainstream profession.
Right.
Because, you know, there's only a limit. You know, I feel that I might be good at it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe I would only realize that once I start attempting on it practically.
Okay.
But still, I feel that something in me says that I'm not that good at it as I feel like.
Right.
So
it's just a fine line between having the confidence and having
exactly.
the self-awareness to let
exactly.
go.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's,
so
that's
I chose thing. To keep it as a hobby, a passion I would nurture on the personal front.
Right.
So
this
I would
is good to have one actually.
Yeah,
yeah,
because you
one.
See, I have see it is really weird because as a student, art was my
hobby.
Hobby.
I was thinking about it. Yeah.
Art was my hobby, and once art became my profession, it's still my hobby because whenever I'm free, whenever I'm off clients' deadlines, and whenever
mm-hmm.
I don't have it, anything you know, any pet project or anything to work on, or if I want to leave everything and just sit for a while, I just keep drawing.
Oh yeah.
That's
oh,
it.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I just end up drawing. That's it. I just end up sketching.
Without even realizing.
Yeah, without even realizing, because it's like flowing in blood.
Mm.
You know, I can't even imagine myself doing anything at all.
Right.
I just keep sketching. I keep watching shows or TVs or soaps or something like that.
Uh-huh.
So it's just that, you know, I know the fine line between a passive hobby and an active hobby, which I turn into a profession.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
and also, like, how do you okay, I'm not hopefully making a big U-turn right here.
Uh-huh.
How would a person, you know, like, know, you see, you said were there any parts in your life that were like you were questioning, okay, what exactly do I want to do? There was
I didn't get the last part.
Okay, no. Was there a time in your life where you were questioning, like, okay, I'm not sure about what exactly do I want to do? Was there a time?
No. There was never a time where I felt bad, where I felt perplexed about my decisions because I didn't know anything at all in the first place. Honestly,
a great way to go.
Yeah. So I had only one way.
Mm.
And I realized that I have to be good at it.
Alright.
Just
picked one.
I just picked one. I know that, you know, it's good to have a plan B. Mm. You know, I remember this a lot when my dad used to say after my 11th and 12th, when I was attempting for my fine art entrance exam,
mm-hmm.
My dad picked out a plan B, which is... he just reserved a spot in a degree college for BCom because what if this doesn't work?
Yeah, yeah.
Even he was not that keen on having a degree with BCom and stuff. Even he was hoping that I would crack this exam because neither of us, you know, we don't like it at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to crack the seat very badly because I was afraid to join in degree in the first place.
Right.
Not because I have to crack this exam, you know.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But still, I had that passion.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to have a career in art.
Mm-hmm.
Even before knowing that something like a fine art exists in India.
Right.
An art school which offers fine art as an education, a degree.
Right.
So it was during... I was never looking forward for a mainstream career. When all of my friends and equals were busy juggling math sheets and exams and science and chemistry and theorems and all this stuff,
right,
I was busy sketching Beyblades and Pokemons and Digimons and coloring them on the back of my classworks.
Right.
So
right.
I was literally this Ishan in Tare Zameenpur.
I've never seen that movie. So
you have to watch it, man.
Yeah, I don't know Hindi, right? So like, I've always stayed away from Hindi movies.
That's
what we Tamil
used to. That's right.
No, you have the dub version on YouTube.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh, it's up on YouTube.
Yeah, and also on Prime. So
it's on Prime.
Yeah.
I have a Prime subscription. I'll probably watch that. Yeah.
So you have to watch it. It just reminds me of my own life.
Mm-hmm.
So it was almost on the similar lines.
Okay.
Honestly, even the kid, I used to look like the same, with twisted tooth and everything. So not with all this beard and stuff.
Right, yeah.
So,
that would be new.
Yeah. So Yeah, so it was almost on the similar lines. I was a very bad student. That was another motivator for me. And I can say that, because once after my 9th standard, all my equals, peers, they got busy in these board exams.
Yeah,
and all.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And I was very much looking forward for an art career. I didn't know what I was going to be, because I was very much unaware about this particular streamline.
Right.
But still, I don't know. I just thought that I will be drawing for the rest of my life.
So you did finance after you're done with school?
After I'm done with my junior college.
Junior college?
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah, it's intermediate.
Oh,
it's intermediate, 11th and 12th.
Oh, they call it a junior college over there.
Oh yes, I thought it's streamlined in India.
Yeah. Oh no, no, they call it school here.
It is school for CBSE.
For even for state board.
Yeah.
All the thing, they call it 11th grade and 12th grade.
Oh really? It for us it is intermediate.
Oh that.
Well, it's a passive term, to be honest. It's intermediate.
Right.
You know.
Of course.
Basic is school, intermediate the plus two, and degree is an advanced.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
One is good enough. We have three.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
we have 10 plus 2 plus 3, they say.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when I crossed my plus 2,
Get into finance.
Yeah. I've landed up in finance. I realized that there is this college, there is this university, Jawaharlal Nehru Technological University.
It's in Hyderabad?
Yeah, it's in Hyderabad.
Okay.
So in Technological University,
right.
Jawaharlal, like the proper JNTU, like the
right.
Which offers a professional degree in fine art. I prefer to pronounce fine art in such a accurate way, because
sounds like finance.
Exactly.
Oh.
Never in my life when I said that I did my fine arts, you know, that people got back to me, oh, finance. So why didn't you do CA?
You know what? Let me tell you a story. You know, my father told me to do finance when I was in school, and for a long time, till my 11th grade, I thought it was finance. I was wondering, okay, I want to be an artist, but why is he telling me to do finance?
That's because artists struggle a lot, and you need to be good with finances.
True. Let's say a kid has convinced his parents he wants to do art, especially the kind of art that you're doing, you know, like cartooning and caricatures and drawing real life and a mix of realism with cartoons.
Yeah.
What other options are there? Because I'm not sure about you, how your college experience was. I had a really bad time with my college, meaning I didn't technically learn anything, and I also think that most of the things that you find in these schools, especially in India, I don't have experience with the ones that are abroad, you can pretty much learn them with a good mentor or with a good, you go through YouTube or good online classes or something. Well, how was your college experience? Was it useful, or what are the alternatives are there?
So I have to change my track and get along with your own line now, because I belong to the same category.
Right.
I consider myself as a self-taught artist, because sadly I just don't want to go deeper on the subject, because it involves political stuff and all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So the thing was. I was a very passionate wannabe artist.
Mm-hmm.
I've been sketching since my childhood, and I was only looking forward for that.
Mm.
And after so much of struggle, I landed up in this college.
Mm.
And it was right then all this Telangana, Andhra Pradesh agitation started.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right.
And this particular college, a university, my university where I got a seat in, it had the official joint action committee.
Uh-huh.
Where all these political things start from.
Ooh, okay.
So all the activities began right from the college.
Right.
So
right.
Almost my entire college was shut down always. There were so many agitations happening over across the city in Hyderabad.
The whole of 3 years.
Whole of 4 years it was.
Oh,
so much of money, and we are from middle class, and we have no other thing to do. And so much of peer pressure on my side, because it was already a niche field. honestly.
Of course, of course.
And the opportunities are very much diluting and practically non-existent in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And we were completely relying on the experienced lecturers. And
right.
We have enough passion to practice, but we had no source at all. It was only for the first year classes went well.
Uh-huh.
Not even the entire first year. It was only till the end of second semester. Right after the second semester, once in the beginning of my second year, it was around 2009 and 10. It was when the chief minister of then Andhra Pradesh has died.
Then the whole
revolution Telangana vegetation has started and everything was shut down and so much of chaos in the city. And everything was bad. It got even more worse after second year first semester. And we protested for good materials and equipment because this particular JNTU has divided into two.
Mm-hmm.
Because the funds which were promised by the former chief minister who was dead, weren't granted. They just gulped it down. There were no equipments in the college and we literally protested. We formed a student union and we demanded from good lecturers and
mm-hmm.
good quality of education.
Mm-hmm.
We were paying fees and so much of expensive things and you know how art materials cost.
Of course.
You know, they demanded Staedtlers.
Right.
And there were no classes happening and I couldn't live that, live with it.
So you couldn't learn much.
Yeah. But I was hungry enough.
Mm-hmm.
So after maybe I've been heading the protests for 2 months in my college.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Hardly 1.5, 2 months. And of course, just like the rest of the country,
uh-huh.
I couldn't see any change in the government at all. No one gave a shit about it. So I politely disagreed with everything and I started practicing from my home.
Mm.
So I just began there, I had my basics.
Mm.
And then Facebook happened to me.
Facebook happened to you?
Yeah, and then Facebook happened to me and there were a few artists like Aaron Blaze and David Boudreau.
Uh-huh.
And there were a few other artists like Wouter Tulp and
right.
Bobby Chiu.
Oh, yeah.
And
from Schoolism. Oh.
Yeah, from Schoolism. And there are so many artists out there, hundreds and hundreds of artists out there,
mm-hmm.
who I try to befriend and acquaint. And they used to keep uploading their artworks. They were leagues ahead of us.
Of course.
Because they were.
Course.
It was
yeah.
2010, and they were already on their Cintiqs.
Mm.
And I didn't even have a proper sketchbook. So they kept on uploading the artworks. I used to stare at them. I was unable to believe the quality they were achieving. I was always confused about how are they able to draw that well.
Good.
Oh my
god.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I started off with my practice. I didn't look back at all after that.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just kept on practicing and practicing. I'm not even exaggerating here, but I used to practice. I used to wake up.
Mm-hmm.
This used to be my bed or on the floor and that's my table. Wake up, brush, sit.
Draw.
That's it.
And repeat.
I used to come out of the room for lunch and all. And my parents used to wonder, we thought we paid for college. and at that point of time, I wanted to put everything on table.
Mm-hmm.
So I explained the situation clearly. My parents came to college and demanded, nothing happened. And,
mm-hmm.
and they agreed with me because I threatened that I would stop college. So
oh.
they thought that, okay, this is better than that.
Right.
So they let me practice at home.
Mm-hmm.
I used to stare at all those biggies like Sebastian Kruger and
mm-hmm.
All their artworks,
mm-hmm.
Jan of the Beacon, so many artists, Jason Seiler.
Right.
So I used to stare at those artworks, practice and practice, replicate them, do master studies. I started from extremely bad drawings.
Mm-hmm.
I started developing by the day. It happened for like the next, this routine has happened for the next 2.5-3 years.
Oh.
Like I meanwhile
it takes time, that's what people
takes
mean.
Time
it
exactly
takes time. Yeah, oh,
it takes when you are in the mainstream profession it takes even
more time. I know yeah.
it's
and they don't
it only
don't
for
get.
Me it only happened in 2 years or 3 years because I was in a student phase and I was completely on it through the day.
Mm-hmm.
24/7. I lost my social life. I lost, you know, I've developed migraines and I've developed so many other things from that particular thing. But one of the good things I reap from that practice is the skill set I have right now in my hand.
Of course.
And I don't regret that anymore. I never regretted in the first place because it was only for me.
Right.
I was so selfish in that way. I used to, you know, get irritated, you know, even for the smallest stuff. When my mom used to ask something from the other room or something. No, I used to, at a certain point in my life, in that point of life, I used to render around 4 or 5 artworks per day.
Ooh.
Now it's surreal for me. I can't even imagine me doing that anymore. I can't do that. But I used to do that then, and that's what something which, you know, which helped me inch forward.
Right.
So I had enough energies where I required.
Right.
So I'm glad, I'm good with it. And now I can render 1 artwork a day, you know, with some Netflix or Amazon.
Yeah, I see your Instagram story.
Yeah. So all that stuff, you know, you just, now I'm just like any other artist who are trying to learn more by the day. But I believe in productivity. You know, if you spend your, if you don't spend your day without doing something you don't, you like, I think it's a day wasted, energy wasted. I've become that way. I've become a workaholic.
Good. I mean, that's good actually.
Well, that's good, but
depends on the season.
It depends. Yeah, the thing is, it's bad. It's also bad because I am a workaholic even when I don't have to be.
You cannot control it.
Sometimes, yeah. There was a moment where I messed up my personal and professional lives. So I used to think about working all the time.
Oh,
like rendering artworks.
Yeah.
I need to increase that. I need to learn.
More output.
More output, man. You know, because, you know, that happened with the source of that was social media, you know. Loads and loads of artists keep uploading their artworks like on a daily basis.
Right.
Even I feel that, you know, even I have to compete in a healthy way. I have to do that as well. I have to develop the standards, you know. You need to hit the pot, you know. You need to crack that particular clientele. You know, you need to hit that phase where, you know, this particular client, you know, this particular guy hires you. You know, there are these personal goals for every freelancer, right? So
yeah,
it's just like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
So it kept me hungry through the day and it ruined my entire mind. Just like I said, I developed so many migraines and so much of stuff has been developed.
How do you overcome that?
I didn't overcome that.
Oh.
I could not.
You just learn to live with it.
I'm just living with it, that's it.
Right.
And I'm still suffering with the same thing.
Uh-huh.
I just keep thinking about that, but I just resist it now.
Right. This was...
That's because the responsibility, you know, extraordinary situations, you know, leads you to take extraordinary decisions or, you know, desperate decisions
times,
or something. Just like that.
So, yeah. I want to ask you a couple of, hopefully it's not going to be rapid fire. I wouldn't want to phrase it as rapid fire, but I don't think it's going to be rapid fire. Okay. A couple of questions. One. Do you read books a lot?
I'm not that of an avid reader. Maybe one in a while.
So what was one book that you read probably in like the past 1 or 2 years that was really impactful?
It was a book from Ram Gopal Varma.
Oh, what is it about?
It was Guns and Thighs.
Oh.
And another book he wrote, his first book was Naistam, which means My Wish.
Oh,
yeah, I read that, and also another biography, Sachin Tendulkar's biography, and I don't remember much. Even before that, I used to read few of Chetan Bhagat's former novels, not the later ones.
Okay,
the former 5.1, 5. Something, and Two States, and all.
Right.
I'm not that
much
of an
reader.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm a watcher.
Okay. What
I read a lot online. I read I spend a lot of time on Quora and Reddit. So that's one thing, like,
right.
I do that religiously almost every day.
Right.
I read a lot of stuff across the world, articles and all that stuff.
Okay. So what would be like one movie or one TV show that you would think would impact One, which has impacted you the most, and two, which would probably impact the people who are listening to this.
Okay, so I'm sure you know, for the people who are following me would have gotten the answer already, because it's movies, Interstellar for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's why so many. What Matthew McConaughey, Gary Cages.
Yeah. So many.
Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So that movie, you know, I can say that it has literally changed the perspective about how I live. You know, I just can't explain it that much, but it just did it in its own way. It's not only about the movie. You see, I've seen that movie more than 58, 60 times.
Oh boy.
Yeah, the entire movie.
Oh boy.
So,
you're a fan.
Yeah, I am a fan. Yeah. So you can call me a fanatic.
Right.
For that movie, because I've almost watched that movie 14 times on the big screen IMAX. After the first time, I've decided that I won't watch this movie on a normal screen, especially when it was running on screens.
Right.
So after that, I've watched it on Netflix, and I've downloaded the 48 GB version of that movie.
I bought the
original copy of it. The bonuses, the soundtracks, and I'm a fanatic of the cinematography in the movie.
It was like that.
The practical effects.
Then you must like this specific thing. There's a musician called Tushar Lal on YouTube.
Yeah.
So listen to that. It's an Interstellar remix.
Indian Jam Project.
Since you're into
yes, I heard almost every possible, you know, every available cover of Interstellar and everything. It's like the movie is literally, what do you call? It made a significant impact on my life, on my thought process. It's that's because it is the base. It is the base philosophy, which is the plot of the movie. It's not about the space exploration. It's about the bond between the father and the daughter. You know,
right.
It's also about the very basics of human life. And also about the philosophy of Christopher Nolan. You know, that guy's a weirdo. You know that.
Yeah. So I like his approach.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I love his approach. And one of the other movies, I can't say one in such, because there are loads and loads of movies I love.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are into gangster movies. Yeah, like Quentin Tarantino, Karthik Subraj.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Karthik Subraj is amazing.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah. Okay. What was one piece of advice that you recently... Okay, some sort of like a phrase or a piece of advice that you have learned recently that's really, you know... being very impactful in the way you live, in the way you think and everything.
Work-life balance.
Mm-hmm. Find your own.
Find your work-life balance. You know, it is important to have, you know, you need to nurture your own self, not the professional self.
Mm-hmm.
I need to nurture my own self, not the artist self.
Right. Then the art will be better.
Exactly. So
yeah.
That's one lesson. I've learned it in a hard way.
Okay.
Yeah. That's there, honestly, yes, I have to say that. Because, I was losing myself completely into my profession.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, taking the situations on my personal front, I had to be like that. I'm not regretting about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that, you know, I have to make some amendments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have
mm-hmm.
to alter that a bit here and there, and maybe...
You have to find your...
Your proper routine. Now I'm
right.
set, not properly set, but yeah, I'm into a good routine. I'm into fitness and stuff since few years.
Do you have a routine?
I have a proper routine. A messed up routine for a stranger, but that messiness is my routine.
Okay.
So I just wake up, I just go to the gym, and I just keep drawing after that.
Okay.
I eat and I draw again.
Okay.
Doesn't change much after so many years.
Yeah,
I draw again. And there is a movie or a TV show which keeps running on the other side.
Okay.
Like
you have something always playing in the background.
Always playing a music. Always. It's never silent.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
If it's silent, it's going to be in the midnight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So whenever I work late at nights, it's always silent.
Mm-hmm.
That's because I enjoy it. But... Taking the fact that I already messed up my sleep cycle lots of times,
mm-hmm.
now
so
I prefer
to
be a bit disciplined to myself.
Okay, got it.
I have now I can say that I'm in the most sorted out phases in my life.
Yeah.
Like I have a good routine, which I never did.
Yeah, routines are big.
Yeah.
I've realized that.
Routine.
Yeah.
ironically, you know, you only if you maintain a proper routine, you'll be able to reap new things.
True. The importance of routines.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, so true. Okay. Second and last question.
Yes.
What would be an advice you would give yourself to your 10-year younger one? Okay, you're 26 now, so let's say 16. Let's go to that kid, and what would you say to that kid?
Okay, that's a good question. Lots of things. Improve more financial knowledge. Because this country lacks that a lot.
Okay.
Yes, the financial knowledge, improve that more. And why were you so stereotyped? That will be the question I would ask. Though I was a bit, considering the situations on my personal front, I was always a bit more psychologically more matured than my equals. I would still, you know, say that to my 16-year-old self, that why couldn't you be even more serious? That's one. That's the only thing, I guess.
Okay. Alright. So, what would be a piece of advice your 90-year-old self will give to you right now?
Okay, so why didn't you watch more movies again?
You should watch more Interstellar.
Why didn't you watch many, you know, 90s? Why didn't you watch or hear 90s rock music or something?
Right.
Because
I've
been digging the 90s music recently. Like Freddie Mercury and all the stuff, Black Sabbath. I've been digging all these days.
Even I didn't do that probably.
Yeah.
It brings up a good feeling, right?
It had that proper 90s feel.
Feel to it, I know.
So what if I've listened to them back then and carried forward to 2018? It would have been different again, I guess. But
That's a good way.
Yeah, but Rahman did that for me.
He's a master.
Of course
he does. All right, so... I think I'm out of questions or I'm out of things that I want to
talk
about.
Or did I left you speechless or something?
Yeah, you left me speechless. I'm speechless by your philosophical deep understanding of life and its profoundness.
The profoundness of being
life.
Silly.
So, what do you want to, if you have something to say to the people who are listening to this, if you want to, want them to check out your work, where can they find you, or if you have some final words that you want to say, tell them. This is the time.
I won't suggest or advise anyone, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
You play by your own game.
Right.
So everyone plays by their own game, no matter, you know, how many times, you know, you say or you suggest something to someone.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, you know, it's something what they feel is, you know, what they're going to do. So that's of no use if you ask me. And well, you can always, I would never let go of a situation where, you know, I would find a need to promote myself. So
go ahead.
Just, you know, everyone knows the drill. You can always find me on Instagram. My name is Sri Priyatam, SRIPRIYATHAM.
Everything will be on screen.
Whatever I do, if you don't know me, you can find me on Instagram and you can know whatever I do there.
Mm-hmm.
And you can always hit me up on, you know, Instagram or Facebook or anywhere. And, you know, you can get lots of memes and lots of dark humor and sarcasm.
All right. Yeah, I'm gonna
apart from art.
That's going to be a part of it.
Yeah. It's always a part.
So, yeah. I'm going to link all Sri Priyatham's links to his social media and his website down below in the description. Do go check it out. All right, man. Had a great time. Thank you
Pleasure.
So much for coming.
It's been a long time, man. It's been a long due.
I know.
Yeah.
You do this three, what do you say? What do you call this? Handshake? Hand bro fist?
Oh, yes.
The
threefolds, I guess.
This one. I do a five thing.
Oh, yeah? I need to learn that then.
That's I learned from...
Five thing, I would call it a game.
You go like this, then like this, then like... You hold your hand like this.
This? Vertically?
Like this. Then you open it up. This. One of the guys opens it up.
Okay.
You do this.
This?
and this. Okay,
dude, this is hard.
Google is shaking his head right now.
This is tougher than origami.
All right. Cool, man. It's
a pleasure.
So
it's a pleasure,
yeah,
you know,
right.
Being in podcast with you.
Yeah. Cool. Done.
Yeah.
Super.
Yeah.
Cut.